Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley
and Beth Jacobson.
And we are super excited to have you join us tonight. We have created this show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality. We will have discussions on various topics and will feature many guests, including healers, psychics, mediums, and speakers.
And our show will be on Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. You can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button, and also check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com, and our email address is divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear your feedback and your insight on our show. You can reach Beth at 651-900-4136 and Marie at 651-303-0555. And you can also download our shows as a podcast using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons on your Blog Talk Radio page. And also, please like our Facebook page. Just search for Divine Goddess Radio.
And our chat room will be open for any questions, so please feel free to type in and ask a question or just say hello. And today we are speaking with Amy Purtis. Amy has a great gift for communicating with other entities, including a special relationship with the fairies. She offers intuitive readings using a variety of tools, or none at all, including fairy tarot and fairy chocolate readings, a system of her own devising. She is a healer. She holds a master-level certification in classic Usai Reiki, and she has studied several modalities from shamanism to chakra work and more. She is a teacher, presenter, and she both creates and participates in workshops. Her website is www.spritecreations.com, and her blog is www.spritecreations.blogspot.com. Welcome, Amy.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Good. We're excited to have you. Amy, would you mind telling everybody just a little bit more about yourself and, you know, exactly what do you do?
You know, sure, that'd be great. I always have to laugh a little bit at that because I love to do so many things, so it's kind of hard to put it into a soundbite. But I create unique handcrafted jewelry and adornments. I also call it fairy finery. So a lot of it is necklaces, rings, earrings, such like that, and they're all created with a healing intent. And that's the majority of my company, Sprite Creations. And then I also offer fairy readings and healings that can incorporate that Reiki. And then also it's basically just a technique of my own. A friend of mine said he would describe it more as pure energy healing. It's just something that I've always done. I'm sure you guys have heard that before and you're familiar with that, where people say, well, how did you get into this and whatever.
Oh,
and
sure, sure.
Yeah, it's just something that I've always done. There's not really a name put to it, so there's that. And I'm actually also currently going through a business coach certification course, so to kind of get some credentials on some of the coaching I'm already doing. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I guess the core belief that I've always had was that I think that people really do have their own answers and the ability to heal themselves inside. And I've always looked at that as my job, is to assist them in uncovering those solutions or reminding them of those solutions. So I actually do hold a bachelor in counseling psychology, and that's originally what I thought I wanted to do was go into business and be a counselor and basically put myself out of business because, you know, I wanted people to walk away with the information such that they could eventually be independent, you know, unto themselves and basically heal themselves. So I don't know if any banks would actually really back my venture now that they've heard that. But, yeah.
I so understand where you're coming from, because I just left the profession myself of counseling. So,
sure. Sure.
You know, Amy, could you talk a little bit more about fairies? Because believe it or not, there are people out there who have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, or that they're closed down and they could be in different places of denial or, you know, fear of being able to, you know, sit here and admit that they see or, you know, have seen something. And, you know, because all of a sudden if you were to admit to somebody that you ever saw a fairy, people might look at you a little, you know, a little differently than what they already do, you know. So could you explain that a little bit more about what fairies are, where they come from? Give us some history if you have any.
You know, actually, I am kind of a little bit different in terms of my take of fairies. And,
okay.
I've read a lot of the lore of fairies, and with as much respect as is due to authors who collect these myths and legends over time, and some of them go back and translate, you know, from different languages and such like that, I've read enough where it was all basically, well, if you're going through this part of Ireland or if you're going through this part of Europe, usually it's Europe, you know, then you have to make sure you appease this fairy and that spirit and this and that, and you have to do this exactly. Otherwise, if you're a male, the fairy will take you and you will be a sex slave, or if you don't want to be a sex slave, she'll kill you. And if you're a female, she's just going to kill you outright because, you know, there's that. And, you know, this world of ours, we constructed ourselves. I mean, you know, Buddha has said that everything that we've seen around us proves that we construct our own world. So, you know, to me, I'm like, you know, I really don't want to play in that energy. So if that's the kind of, you know, fairy lore that you want to go for or what you're drawn to, then please, by all means, go to the library, go to Amazon.com and find those books and go ahead and do the research yourself, because it's there and it's written far better than I could speak about it. So long story short, what I do is I basically just listen to what the fairies tell me. And the fairies that tend to hang around me tend to be more interested in action, in what's going on now, you know, versus what happened 500 years ago. And they tend to be more independent and less punishing or less territorial, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that said, I was trying to get an idea of how to explain what fairies are to people who might not know or might not want to talk about it, and I actually went back to the dictionary. And, yeah, that was interesting, and thought I would use as a springboard their definition, which was, in folklore, a fairy is any of a race of supernatural beings who have magical powers and sometimes meddle in the affairs of humans. And then, it, like, for instance, Sprite, because obviously my business is Sprite Creations, also comes from Middle English and Anglo-French for spirit or soul. And so if I were to try to explain this to someone, I would say that fairies are little bits of the divine, little bits of divine energy or divine beings who become physical to care for this earth, this planet, and sometimes for the human beings on it.
Oh, okay. All right, makes sense. It does. Would you say the fairies are more like in nature than anywhere else, or are they like everywhere?
The answer I get from them is that they're everywhere they want to be and nowhere they don't want to be. How's that for straightforward?
So have they ever told you where they don't want to be?
Pretty much where they don't want to be is... well, let me back up a little bit. Yes, they do tend to prefer nature, absolutely. But the biggest place they don't want to be is where they're disrespected or where people want to trap them or manipulate them in a negative way, you know, anything like that. They're really not as much a fan of, you know, high technology, concrete, you know, big cities, such like that. There are some fairies who do like the modern, You know, you don't have to move out to a cottage in the woods, as lovely as that is, to have a relationship with the fairies. So they do definitely tend to prefer nature. But, yeah.
Well, then, how does someone know if fairies are around them? I mean, do they give you a sign, or do you see them, or how would you know?
Generally, how most people tend to see fairies are little smaller orbs of glowing light. And I know a lot of people see glowing orbs and they're different things. But generally, they tend to be smaller, kind of like we remember Tinkerbell, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it could be all different colors. It doesn't have to be a particular color, you know, means this and a particular color means that. It could be any color. And then, too, I thought if folks were wondering, well, Amy, I see orbs all the time, and how do I tell the difference between a fairy and an angel or, you know, something else? And generally, you get a sense. If it's very playful, maybe mischievous, but in a good-hearted way, you know. Yeah, you just kind of get a sense of whimsy, and maybe if you hear giggling or it feels like you hear giggling, or maybe instead of orbs you see bubbles or, you know, anything that's very fun and very lively and very positive. Again, with that whimsy or like the mischief or playful, is generally it's a pretty good bet that's a fairy.
What about, like, if you're out of the corner of your eye, you see something zip right by you really fast? you look and you're like, oh, something just went through the room really fast. Is that
generally
something that would be considered?
Generally, that's probably a fairy, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I saw one last week in my house. I went, what was that?
Yep. Too, if you have particularly cats, but there are also dogs that do this, but if you have a cat or a pet, and they start watching something up in the air, and the way they're moving their head as they follow it is a pattern that no insect really would follow. You know, I've watched our cats do that, and first of all, it's winter, so there's not really many insects.
Exactly.
And second of all, I can watch them trace the path, and that's not a path of any insect that I've ever seen. So that's a pretty good bet it's a fairy.
Oh, funny. Now, I have a question for you. Have you been able to see fairies ever since you were a child, did you say?
You know, it's funny, actually. We all have different gifts, right? And
exactly.
So I haven't always been able to see fairies. Like, I can communicate with the spirited people. You know, some people call it mediums, people who've passed on or, you know, whatever, and there are folks that I know who can see spirits, and they can say, oh, this is a woman from the 19th century, she has a striped taffeta gown with a corset, you know, and they can describe her whole costume. And this translates over into fairies, too. Some people can see them and describe their costuming exactly. I don't generally tend to see fairies in that distinctive detail. And when I've asked them why, at least the information that I've gotten is that they can change their form. Some of them can change their form. Some of them can be very small, you know, like Tinkerbell. Some of them can be rather big, three, four foot, whatever. And so what they've told me is that for me it's not as much, it doesn't really matter what their costuming is. It's more the message from them. So, anyway, there's your long answer for that. But as time has gone on, I've been able to see them a little more clearly. I also hear them. I also just have that knowing. I think that's called clairsentience. And let's see. Yep. So hear them and also sense them. And actually, I had a really cool experience just a little while ago where one of them actually rested on my hand. So how cool was that? So,
that would be really cool.
Yeah.
So, Amy, on that, are there different types of fairies then?
You know, there definitely are different kinds of fairies. And, again, it's pretty much just whatever type of fairy they want to be, they're going to be. generally I've noticed that the fairies that choose to hang around a particular person tend to be a match for that person's personality. It doesn't sound like rocket science, but it's really quite interesting. So when I said, you know, the fairies that tend to hang around me don't, you know, tend to concentrate on the now, tend to have messages about, you know, this time going forward, you know, things like that. I've also noticed and listened to other people who've been comfortable talking to me about fairies, and they've said, there's a fairy in my house, it doesn't get along with my cat. You know, the fairy and the cat are at odds. And that actually, that person seems to have then sort of a supernatural TV. You know, she gets live TV then when the fairy and the cat kind of square off a little bit, I guess. So, you know, and that's perfect for her, you know, in her home. So it's I've noticed that generally the beings that are drawn to each person tend to match what that person is looking for.
Okay. So then when you can sense that there's fairies around you, how do you communicate with them? Do you just speak to them, or is it telepathic, or how does that communication work?
You know, most of the time I do it telepathically. Partially it's because, let's be honest, it wasn't that many years ago when we three having this conversation and people listening, and Beth will get a kick out of this, it wasn't that long ago when we would be committed, you know, to an asylum. And
there are people who would probably love to see us committed.
Right. And there are people even now, you know, in conservative environments where they would say, you know, those gals, they've got to get some help because they're living in a dream world, you know. I mean, and they would, and still, I haven't looked at the most recent, you know, DSM, but still, you know, a lot of what we talk about in our daily lives is considered delusional. You know, this is considered psychopathic. So, you know, so I'm sorry, I lost track of the question.
Well, I mean, like, I know I communicate with angels. I talk to angels. I mean, I'm in my car and always.
Yes.
I'm sure people are thinking she's either singing or she's nuts, but I have this conversation going.
I always have my cell phone in the car with me, so I pretend like I'm talking to it.
Sure,
and people would absolutely die laughing if they knew my conversation, let me tell you.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay, so the question was, how do I communicate with them? Largely, I communicate with them with telepathy, basically, because it's a lot less cumbersome, you know, than speaking things out loud. Generally, when I speak with the fairies and it's telepathy, they can read the nuances into what I was trying to say. So if I'm having a really bad day communicating, it's so nice to just be like, here, this was the thought. I'm sorry, I think if I actually try to speak it out loud, this is not a good day for it, you know? And then they can kind of read the intent behind it and the energy behind it, and, you know, we can avoid some misunderstandings. Where I do tend to speak out loud, besides obviously readings and where, you know, people want to hear what they have to say, is if it's very formal. You know, if I, like, for instance, with this interview here, there are times when I will, I was a little bit more formal in inviting the fairies to join us, just because we have, you know, all sorts of people with us, and it's a kind of a bigger thing, I guess. So if I'm being formal, if it's a group of people that are, you know, in front and they need that audible communication, then I will definitely do that.
Okay, just to verify for those who may not know what telepathy is, could you explain that a little bit more?
To me, it's talking to things in my head. I say, hi, how are you, you know? So for most of the fairies that I speak with, especially if I feel like I'm new to them and they're new to me, I'll generally be more formal, just like people, you know. They'll generally say, hello, you know, I invite you to speak with me, is actually pretty formal. And then I wait, you know, and if they don't want to speak with me, then, you know, great, you know, I'll thank them for their time and go on their way, and if they do, that's fine too. And then we can have a conversation. It's really no different than people.
So basically it's just having a conversation in your head.
Pretty much.
Okay, yep. Okay. So my next question is, how are fairies different from angels? How would people be able to differentiate that, you know, especially for people who might just be waking up to this or drawn to this show tonight going, I'm not quite sure what this is all about.
Yeah.
I want a conversation to come into.
I know. Well, it's a lot of fun. Fairies and angels both are so much fun, and they can be so very helpful, you know. What I usually tell people is angels are very majestic, you know, they're very serene. They tend to uphold rules and uphold structure. They will often rescue. They're very much all about unconditional love, obviously, and they have a very celestial focus, and they often have a mission, or several, actually, that they need to do or are here to execute. The fairies, on the other hand, they tend to be mischievous, in a kindly way. They tend to break the rules rather than uphold them. They respond according to their whims. If you need someone or some being, or you know, you're at that point in your life when you need someone who's always going to be there in terms of divine support, probably might want to call in an angel rather than a fairy. Fairies absolutely demand respect, and they love to frolic. So if they feel that they do what they want to do, basically. Angels are more understanding in that way and more into the unconditional love. Fairies are like, you know, really, I didn't care for the way you were approaching me. I felt you were disrespecting me. I'm out of here. You know, I'm not going to be here. So they respond according to whims. They're creative. And instead of a celestial focus like the angels have, they're concerned more with nature, the earth, and very planetary focused. And they tend to help with challenges, problems, support, things specific to us as we're on this earth walk right now.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Is it fairies that would take our glasses or keys and all of a sudden they disappear and you're going, I swear to God, I just saw them right there. And then all of a sudden you're looking all over the house, go right back, and there they are where they originally were. Would you say that's the fairies who could be playing a trick on you, just like if you need more humor in your life?
Yep, that is absolutely it, and that's one of the roles that they love to do. And I'm so glad you said that, because that was the other point when I was, you know, contemplating the questions that we were hopefully going to address, was that part of the reason that the fairies do that, make no mistake about it, sometimes it's just, wouldn't this be funny, you know, and they do that, but a lot of times they're doing it because they want us to break out of our routine or, you know, something that's no longer serving us, or perhaps we're getting too serious about, you know, I've got to make this on time, and they're basically saying, look, the world's not going to end if you're not there at this time, and they're kind of similar to angels in that way. Like, maybe you took 5 minutes to try to find your keys, but then by the time you arrived at wherever you were supposed to be, the other person was running exactly 5 minutes behind too. So it's perfect timing. Or, you know, perhaps you avoided a car accident along the way, or, you know, whatever like that. But yeah, a lot of what they do in terms of the little tricks like that is to help us break out of that mindset where we think, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. And the fairies are like, hey, dude, I mean, come on, take a look around. This is paradise. So you incarnated here for a reason. How about you enjoy it?
Well, what about hiding something that you wear within your drawer and now you can't find it? I always feel like somebody's laughing going, ha, 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 but it's like, I want it back. Do they do that kind of stuff too?
Right. You know, yeah, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just a matter of that they want to communicate with you. You know, they want you to invite them into your life. They want to establish more of a dialogue, and how do they get your attention? by hiding something, right?
Oh.
So, you know.
So in other words, Amy, it kind of sounds like they're a good indicator of letting us know when we have our panties in a bunch.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's a great deal of it, too. Yeah, yeah. A lot of times what I would suggest to people if, you know, you can't find your keys or you can't find your gloves or whatever is just sit down, you know, try to center yourself, you know, which is hard. You know, we've all got 5,000 things we have to do at any given second in our days, but just kind of try to center yourself and take a deep breath and just say, I would really appreciate having my whatever it is, you know, back. And just, you know, kind of thank them and just let it go, as hard as that might be. And generally, if you approach them that way, you'll get it back.
Okay, I'm going to try that. Well, then how does, I mean, if they're doing that to kind of, you know, say, hey, we want you to invite us into your life, how does someone do that then? How do you invite fairies into your home and your life?
You know, that's a good question. It can start with something as simple as that. And, you know, just sitting down and saying, you know, I invite you to speak with me. You know, I invite you to hang around. You know, I'd really like to have some fairies in my home. You know, whatever is most comfortable to you in terms of the phrasing. I like the phrase invite. I invite you to speak with me. It's very... not needy. It's very open. You know, there's no subtext. There's no subtitles. There's no underlying grasping anything. I don't know if you guys can feel the energy of that, but it's an invitation, nothing more. You know, there's not, well, if you don't speak to me, I'm going to hate you forever. You know, there's nothing coercive about it. So I would do that. Otherwise, a lot of times people will ask me if they should have a fairy garden in their house or dedicate a particular plant to the fairies or whatever. And I actually had one lady ask if fairies would like a rock garden, like a Zen rock garden rather than a plant. And I said, well, again, the fairies that are best match will be drawn to that person. So... don't get too hung up on, you know, should I have this plant or that plant or this or that or, you know, whatever. The fairies will recognize your intent to form that friendship and to form that relationship, that positive relationship. So if you can't think of anything else, you know, find a plant that you like or, you know, make a pretty little space that is to your taste. Even if that particular fairy doesn't care for that, they'll understand the intent behind it. Does that make sense?
It does.
I have a quick question for you. Last summer, I made a fairy house. I took a class.
Yeah.
And I had it outside on my front step all summer. But
yeah.
Then I put it in my garage because, you know, I didn't want it to crack over the winter.
Sure.
Do you think whoever may have visited would get upset? Because I remember... when it got really cold and I took the fairy house, I remember seeing something flit right by the window where it used to sit in front of. So I didn't know, oh, you know, are they looking for their house or what's going on?
Well, they definitely were looking for where the house went, you know.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I just had this sign pop in my head. Your house went here, you know, a little sign. But what you might want to do then is just, you know, at a time when you don't feel like you're the biggest dork in the world, because that's easy to do when we're speaking supposedly into thin air, right? We're just like, oh, God, like you say, hopefully carry your cell phone, because otherwise, you know, people think you're nuts or whatever. But just say, you know, hey, just wanted to let you know, your fairy house is in the garage. I didn't, you know, want it to get damaged with the cold weather. You know, you're welcome to visit there. Or, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. If you want to invite them inside your home, you're welcome to do that. And they'll hear. I mean, even if they're not immediately around, they're like angels in that they can be several places at once, you know.
Okay.
So if they choose to be. So, yeah, But yeah, they were definitely looking for their house, but they also wanted you to see that they were there. Because they appreciated the fact that you did that.
Oh, good. Okay, nice. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I want to just say, is there anything else you would like to say, Amy, before I ask anything else, or?
No, I think that's pretty much all that's popping to mind. Did you guys have any other questions for me?
Well, because you basically said that fairies can be found everywhere. They can be found out in nature. They can be found in your homes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anywhere else they can be found that we're unaware of?
I guess
I'm assuming they can fly on the airplanes with us to different countries.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming they can travel with us, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. They're very, for people who don't know, they're very similar to the angels in that way.
Okay.
They can physically, metaphysically ride with you on the planes, or they can just show up. You know, maybe they want to skip the flight. You know, they're like, hey, I've got my own wings. I'll skip the flight, you know. But she's going to Hawaii. Sweet. So then they'll just show up, you know, in Hawaii where you went on vacation or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does. It sure does.
Amy, someone in our chat room had a quick question. They want to know, do the fairies get cold?
You know, the answer I'm hearing is yes and no. Isn't that fun? I haven't had that question before.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Because they're non-physical and divine beings, they don't get cold in exactly the same way we do. You know, they don't have this corporeal body, basically, unless they want to. I mean, unless they manifest it. But a lot of fairies... You know, when we're in the Midwest, right, so we're in winter. And so a lot of the fairies and a lot of the nature does go underground or into warm places, and they aren't as active because it is cold. So it's not that they would get frostbite, per se, like we would, but they definitely are more sluggish, I guess, or are less active in colder climates. Or colder times. Does that make sense?
Yes. Who would have thought that, though? Who would have thought that? That's new for me.
Well, they're...
I can't say
I've
ever heard that one. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. They're very nature-based, you know, so that would make sense.
Do you have... do you sell your jewelry at the Renaissance festivals?
I don't. I looked at that a while back, and I had quite a few friends who were actually out at the Renaissance Festival for a number of years. But my jewelry tends to be quite eclectic, and so I'm not sure that it would fit into the parameters of the Renaissance Festival there. It's kind of like when you're jurying for an art show. I tend to do whatever the idea is. So, like, for instance, I'll have pop cap pendants where I take old pop caps and I put things in them and I cover them with resin and then drill them out and make necklaces or whatever out of them. And clearly that would not be Renaissance. You know, I have necklaces and such that are made out of defunct laptop keys from computers. So I haven't applied because I just think it wouldn't be quite the best fit.
Okay. Because, you know, at the Renaissance Festival, you see, you know, so many things related to fairies out there. So I just thought, maybe I've seen your stuff out there. So.
Yeah, sadly no. Sadly no. But if you've seen Twig, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I have seen Twig.
Oh, gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Yes, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Amy, do the fairies have a message for all of us today?
They do.
Cool.
Excellent. So, it was pretty much a couple things, as you guys might guess by the title. The main thing was freedom, which kind of goes hand in hand with that, you know, not getting our panties in a bunch
yeah.
kind of thing. But the first thing that the fairies wanted everyone to know was that the advice that they give is not airy-fairy in, you know, that derogatory, nonsensical way. It's they want people to know that it's very practical, and it's usually practical, and it always comes from a place of playful loving and a desire for freedom for all beings. They say they do, you know, obviously sometimes speak in riddles or puzzles, or they don't speak at all and just hide things, you know. But that's usually to pop people out of their heads, or, you know, like their ruts of thought. So people will work a little bit, like particularly if a person is arrogant, is viewed as arrogant by them, or we've all met those people that feel that they have to work or suffer to earn their knowledge or their money or, you know, whatever. We might look at them and say, you know, I think there might be an easier way, but for them, they need to have that structure, you know, where they have to work hard to get what they need. So that's part of the reason why the fairies do what they do. So that's that. So basically what they're saying is, yeah, a lot of people don't listen when we speak because they say fairies and we're not, you know, giving some practical advice, but that's not so. And the other message that they had kind of is hand in glove with that, and they say, you know, humans in general have become too domesticated. There's a quote from Tinkerbell, which I love, which is, you have to break the rules if you want to break free. And so what they say is they would urge people to do, to seek freedom and play, excuse me, as a foundation in everything that they do. And they're pointing out that with these great upheavals that have been coming for at least the last 3 years, the structures are falling down anyway. So you might as well make the life that you want, because really nobody knows what's going to happen next. So the world, the universe is conspiring to reinforce what they're saying. So stop being domesticated. Do what serves you. Don't do what doesn't serve you. Do that which makes your heart sing as much as possible, as much of the time. And they're saying that's the beginning of a magical life. Some tips and tricks that they're offering. If you're stuck, try to make it a game. You know, how do I feel about this option? How do I feel about that option? Which option is the more shiny or feels the more open or feels more alive? Which gives you more positive energy? Which option makes you feel more tired? And so their advice is go for that which makes you feel more alive, however, you know, you sort it out. Invite magic into your world. The fairies are all about, you know, pleasure, enjoyment, fun, partying, and so forth. So call on them when you want to invite that magic and that fun into your life.
Amy, that is just, I think that is absolutely fantastic. That's the messages that I've been channeling. It's all about, you know, we're co-creators, and if we take ourselves way too serious, and it's about having the human experience. And also, the magic is coming back in, because it's something that has been lost for quite some time. And it's, I think that's just, the message is right on with what I've been getting this week. And so I love it. You're validating that I'm getting accurate information. So I'm just like, wow. So on
that
note, Amy,
awesome.
Amy has agreed to have individuals who would like to ask a question on the air to call in, or you could type in the chat room and we can read them on the air. If you want to dial in, you can call 347-327-9360, and we'll continue to ask Amy questions as well as in between callers. So anybody who is wanting to ask a question, just give us a jingle now.
And we have a couple people on the line listening. I can pop over to them and see if they have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, hold on. And I'm going to bring in area code 843. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Do you have a question for Amy?
Yes, I do. Okay. I've read some books about fairies, And I was just wondering if fairies really help you when you need money.
Yes, they can. The reason I'm pausing with that is I'm just kind of checking in with them. And
okay.
What you have to understand with them is that they understand abundance. It's kind of like, you know, the leprechaun with the pot of gold.
Mm-hmm.
They're so used to being able to manifest whatever they want when they want it that it's a little bit of a foreign concept to them. But yet it's also not, right? Because they're used to manifesting whatever they want when they want it. So
right.
What I'm hearing is that be clear about what you want. When you say money to them or you say abundance to them,
mm-hmm.
Be clear about what you want and when you want it. And just kind of, even if you can just picture it in your mind of what you want and even kind of why, you know, it's not a justification, but if they understand better what you're asking them, it's more likely to go smoothly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, they're here to assist the people that they choose to assist for living now, you know, this human experience now. So absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you for your question.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yep.
Thank you.
And then I have another caller with area code 360. Did you want to ask Amy a question?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I was wondering if the fairies had a message for me.
Okay. Generally, I need a little bit more of a focus than that. Is there a particular question that you have or a particular concern or idea, anything like
that? Well, with my son, I'm wondering, you know, if he'll be contacting me
okay.
or how he's doing.
Okay. Is your son a source of support for you? You're missing contact with him then, or?
Yeah, I'm missing contact with him.
What I'm getting from the fairies is that, sure, they can help you with this, but you'll be far happier if you learn to speak with your son yourself. What I think is needed in this situation is, have you invited the fairies into your life right now? Are you fairly comfortable with them, or are you just learning to invite them in?
Well, I've had them give me a blessing in the past, and they gave me a really nice blessing.
Oh, good. Yay. I guess the reason I'm asking this is this. Anytime that we work on any skill, whether it be physical or non-physical, that opens up us for acquiring other skills. So, for instance, we may not ever run a marathon, but if we jog just for fun, then if for some crazy reason we decide we want to run a 5K just because we have a crazy friend who roped us into it, we'll be in much better shape for it. That sounds like a tangent, but let me connect the dots here. What the fairies are saying is they would like to establish more of a rapport with you, and they'd like you to be more comfortable in speaking with them because the more comfortable you get with the divine, you know, whether it's fairies or angels or, you know, whatever, and using the hearing divine guidance, hearing divine advice, and so forth, the easier it will be for you to establish that contact with your son and to hear what he's saying accurately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Yeah. So, as far as the fairy blessings, is this something that you're comfortable with to invite them into your home? I'm kind of hearing a little bit of resistance here. Where are you at in terms of the fairy continuum and comfort there?
I don't know a lot about them,
sure.
I guess.
I'll tell you what. Let's start here. Anytime that you are feeling playful, you know, you're feeling good, or you're starting to begin a game, or even just making up a game, like on your commute to work, right? Look for blue cars, or say, today I'm going to look for red cars, or anything that's fun, because the fairies will be enamored of that fun part. I'm going to play here, I'm going to do this. You know, they like the fun, they like the mischief, they like the playful. And invite them to play along with you. And I'm kind of getting the idea that your son's going to kind of piggyback on that. He kind of wants you to learn how to be more playful too. And when you're in that playful, that kind of expanded space, it's going to be easier for you to hear him.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any more callers, Marie?
No, not at this time. So.
Well, Amy, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do the fairies have any advice or any feedback or any wisdom, whatever, for me on my children's books, writing children's books?
Okay. The first thing they say is go for it. They say you already have all of the ideas you need right now. You know, I mean, more will come, obviously. But for right now, you've got more than enough. So there's definitely support there. And I'm just getting this picture of a lot of very colorful drawings, very lighthearted, kind of airy. So I don't know. When you first asked the question, too, there was a bit of stuckness. So I don't know, are you stuck finding an illustrator, or
what it comes down to is I have so much to talk to, being one of these kids who grew up with all these senses, so to be able to write books for parents so that they have a better understanding of what their kids may be going through. So it's just like a guideline for parents to be using. There's so much that I have. It's like, where do I even start?
Where to start? As you started to say that, I do wonder, maybe start with a book that doesn't have a lot of words. Maybe start with a book that's basically a picture book. You know, because some of these kids won't really understand the words, depending on their level of education, depending on their level of processing. You know, they'll be able to process visually far more efficiently. So maybe it's a series of books where one is almost entirely pictures, and then another that's more a quote-unquote normal book with some pictures and mostly text. You know what I mean?
Yes. I never knew. Is there such a thing as a book just with pictures out there?
Yep. Well, especially for kids, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
were you thinking of incorporating textures with that too, or no? Was that a little too far down the path?
Well, that would, down the road, yes. Yes.
Okay.
And just so we're on the same path, what do you mean by textures? I just want to make sure that we're on the same.
Well, like Pat the Bunny. You know, the book you give to kids where it's got, like, different textures for babies, I'm sorry, where they give the books with the different textures to the babies.
Oh.
The tackle.
Yeah. Okay, from that extent, no, I never thought of that.
Yeah. that might be a little farther down the line than what you're thinking, okay. But do keep it in mind.
Okay.
Because, you know, kids love to pet things. Well, adults love to pet things, too, but we're more domesticated.
Exactly. Now, how do they, what would they recommend on how I publish them? Am I supposed to stick with the e-book?
No. What I'm hearing is the e-book for now, but really what you have is a gift. And it is something to be given to the world. I mean, don't try not to doubt that it does have its place in the world. They all do, I should say. But when you're done with it in whatever form and you're ready for it to be published, whether electronically or, you know, well, you'll know. When you get done with it and you're at that place of, okay, it's done, right?
Okay.
Then just sit there for however long you need to, and just say, does this need to be an e-book? Does it need to be in physical form or both? You know, I think your main question is, should you try to get it published in physical form? Because e-books aren't that difficult to publish relatively. And just say, does this feel like it needs to be? Because you'll feel that tugging, you know. Does this need to be in physical form? And then when you feel that, just say, you know, and you can make this into a ritual if you want. That would be fine, too. But just sort of make that sacred space for yourself and say, you know, this is ready to go out into the world. I'm ready to release it and just sort of do a ceremony of release, however that pops to mind. It could be something as simple as burning a candle and having a nice glass of wine and toasting yourself that you're done, you know, up to burning sage and calling over some best friends and, you know, partying it up, whatever, or both, you know, all of the above, you know, whatever you need to do, but just sort of put the intention out there to the universe and say, okay, this is done. This is my, you know, one of my gifts to the world. I'm ready for the publisher, you know, I'm ready for the next step. I'm ready for the publisher to approach me. You know, I'm ready for this next step. And just let go.
And thank you. That's excellent. Thank you very much.
And we do have...
Go ahead.
No, does that resonate? How does that resonate with
you?
Yep,
no, that sounds and feels really good. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
And I have a question from the chat room from Josh.
Oh, okay.
And what he wants to know is, how would the fairies suggest to interject fun and freedom into conservative, downtrod environments, a.k.a. certain workplaces?
I don't know if this is the Josh that I'm thinking of, but that...
It probably is, Amy.
I'm thinking it is. So, hi, Josh. Thanks for listening. That's so cool. He's pretty awesome, by the way. wow. Okay, so conservative, downtrodden environment. Oh.
It is.
You know, we're going to need to take baby steps with this one. And actually, I'm going to throw this open to you guys, Marie and Beth, too, because seems like more of a brainstorming question, but definitely baby steps. Let me just check in a little bit. So a lot of times what I would recommend is bringing in some little plant, you know? And if people look askance at you, I mean, come on, you're in a cubey environment. You're in a cube farm, you know? Plants give us oxygen. It's that whole carbon dioxide cycle. So this can be something very, very practical, you know, I want a plant. Even if it's, I hear some people already, Amy, I don't have a green thumb. Okay, it can be an aloe vera plant. I don't care. Get a cactus. You know, it's fine.
You can't kill an ivy.
Exactly. Get an ivy. If you feel comfortable, if you want, you can get a little fairy statue and put it in. I'm assuming because it's a very conservative, downtrodden environment, you probably don't even want to do that. Probably the bringing in the plant is the most you want to rock the boat at that point in time. but I would definitely either bring in a plant or bring in a faux plant, something that brings in that feeling of nature. The other thing that's popping to mind for that is then that's a really good thing for the person that's in the QB farm, because you can use that kind of like a screensaver of, say, Hawaii or a vacation spot on your computer. When you look at that plant or that reminder of nature, you can kind of go on a little quick soul journey out to your favorite, you know, oasis, generally out in nature. You know, you can walk through the woods, or you can walk in the mountains, or you can go down to the shore of the beach and just kind of set up your own little program for yourself right there. Just, I'm looking at this piece of nature. I get this, you know, 30-second reset where I get to space out and have this moment of relaxation there. And while you're there, then that will also be a reminder of the magic, bringing the magic. So I guess the upshot is I would start by bringing in plants, whether they're live or fake, and using that to kind of invite to. Otherwise, there's all sorts of little, there used to be anyway, all sorts of little games that they used to sell, like at Barnes & Noble and whatever, and they were specifically small little things you could keep at your desk at work. Some of them were Zen rock gardens. Some of them were little magnetic-y things. Anything that is a game that would remind you to play at all, I would definitely bring that in as well, and just kind of tie. A lot of magic has to do with intent. So if you've got that game there, you know, set the intent to, okay, I have this here on my desk. My intent is to invite more magic into my life, you know, this environment. And so every time you look at that, then that you'll reactivate that intent.
Nice.
That's very good advice, Amy. Very good advice.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you guys have any other ideas for Josh?
I mean, I don't know if he would do this, but I used to, when I worked in a QB, I would I would bring you know those trolls with the really bright colored hair?
Oh, yeah.
And they were bejeweled. And I put them on top of my computer monitor.
There you go, Josh.
Oh,
there
my
you
God.
Go. Trolls.
Oh. The other thing, too, is like anything funny, like the flying spaghetti monster. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
It's kind of that spoof on Christmas.
No.
Yeah, okay, so you have the Jesus fish, you know? And then in response to that, you had the Darwin fish.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's this little thing, a flying spaghetti monster. So instead of Santa Claus, it's a flying spaghetti monster, and or instead of Jesus. And, you know, you worship him, and people feel comforted because he touches them with his noodly appendage. It's basically just, you know, showing that you can wrap a myth around just about anything, including something as ridiculous as a flying spaghetti monster. So, so anyway, and they have them like magnetic bumper stickers and everything. So, I mean, a person could get something as absurd as, you know, a flying spaghetti monster and tack it on their wall of their QB, you know, of their cube, and they don't even have to explain it to everyone else. But, you know, then they have the flying spaghetti monster, and it kind of makes them crack up, and it, you know, invites that magic in.
Well, Amy, Marie and I would love to thank you and all the listeners for listening to our program today. We're at the end of our show, and we'd like to give our gratitude galore for Amy for sharing her wonderful knowledge of fairies with us. And again, Amy's website is spritecreations.com, and her blog is Sprite Creations, or www.spritecreations.blogspot.com. You can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button, and check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. And our email address is divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. Again, we hope that you will all join us each week, and we send love and light to all of you. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, ladies. This was so much fun.
have a great evening.
Yes, we'll talk to you again sometime.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.